Good morning, Jericho Road Church. Do y'all feel like staying home makes you a little bit crazy? Like a little needier for some boldness? Something out of the ordinary to break up a little bit of the monotony? If so, today may be your day. I want to walk together in exploring celebration in God, to God, and for God. And I can't think of a better way to start than with a shout. You see, Psalm 66 starts out this way. It starts out by saying, shout for joy to God, all the earth. So let's do that right now by shouting the two greatest commandments, which also happen to be our church's mission statement. So let's do this. I mean, really shout. What do we do? Love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. Amen. For our current four-week series, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the good things of God. We're going to celebrate the good things from God. We're going to celebrate the unique you. And we're going to celebrate JRC's faithful, who've poured out their time and their talent to bless this church all year long. Today, we're going to dial in on celebrating the good things of God. And what I mean by this, by the things of God, are the things about God's character, about his nature or his being that ought to cause us to do a yahoo, something like that. The good things of or about God. So here are a bunch of them. And then we're going to look at like how to celebrate him as we think of those amazing attributes of him. So the first is God is above all things and yet near at the same time. Talk about a mind bender, right? Like right off the bat, in Jeremiah chapter 23, it says this: Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? In theological circles, this is called his transcendence and his immanence, respectively. That he is high above or that he's outside of creation and he's over all things. He's beyond even our thoughts. Like he is just so big and amazing and transcendent beyond us. Yet, yes, he is huge and he's outside of the universe. Yet, he's also near and knowable. And he knows every detail of you, every thought, every hair, mistake, tear, or triumph. What an incredible comfort that God is big enough to handle my issues, my failures, and near enough to care. What a powerful reason to celebrate him. Another thing about God is that he is infinite in power and understanding. This is similar to the last. In Psalm 147, it says this: Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Again, theologically, we call this his omnipotence and his omni-understandingence. Okay, that's not actually a word. I meant omniscience. This verse is a parallelism where the first is informed by the second. And the force of this construct tells us that God is infinite in greatness, in power, and in understanding. Because God has unlimited power and ability, that means it doesn't matter how big or small something is. It doesn't matter that I feel small or that our planet is in the universe quite small. Because for an unlimited God, the smallness or the bigness of something is irrelevant. In the infinite, there is no such thing as small or large. So value or important is not and cannot be measured by the number of molecules that are taken up by something within the universe. You and I can be important, meaningful, and valuable to God despite being finite, small, or seemingly nothing. Because my smallness is irrelevant. The nature of my makeup or my created status by God is what matters. And each of us were formed by God in his likeness with his breath of life in us. So every human being matters. Celebrate. Another thing we see about God is that he is morally pure, holy, and sinless. In Isaiah, he writes it this way, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah, the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory." There's another passage in James that says, when tempted, no one can say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So from these passages, we see that God is morally pure. He is holy. He is sinless. Oftentimes when I'm praying and I'm worshiping God over his attributes, this is at the top of the list. I often struggle internally when looking at the current world that we live with all of its sin and its darkness. And I know my own life falls tragically short of holiness. And so when I raise my eyes up to God, and I'm so thankful and so glad that he is beyond all of this mess, that he's not caught up in sin and he doesn't have any ulterior motives and he is perfect. What a powerful reason to celebrate him, that he's clean and he's pure and he's everything that ought to be is God. This reality really helps restore my hope because my hope is on him, not on the fallenness of the world that I see around me and even in my own life. Another attribute of God is that he is true. He never lies. Here's two passages for you, one in Titus and one in John. Titus says that in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So similar to our last attribute, this one really reassures my heart. In a world and a time where truth is often obscured and we occasionally aren't sure who to trust or what to trust, this is an incredible statement about God. And we can celebrate him because he is trustworthy. He is solid. And it does my heart good to focus on this. The next attribute I want to highlight is that God is creative. There's a whole lot about this, but it comes from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we're going to talk a lot about this in a couple of weeks, over the next 2 weeks. There's a whole lot to unpack here. But part of who God is, by his nature, is that he's creative. He's interesting. And I love this piece. We being made in his likeness, we're created to create, every one of us. We're going to spend a lot more time on this in the next 2 weeks, like I said, but suffice it to say that his creativity in creation is celebration worthy. And the reality that his image is in us and causes us to be similar, that's some pretty powerful creator stuff in us. And that part is also worth celebrating. But it's also neat to just think that the God that we worship is creative. Like he created things that are so interesting for us to look at in this universe. The next thing I want to highlight is that he's relational. God has existed eternally past in relationship, and he desires a relationship with you and I. In Acts chapter 17, it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone breath and life and everything else. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Man, that is a powerful thing. That scripture that tells us that God is wanting to have a relationship with each and every person on this planet. God wants a relationship with you personally. And not a relationship of slave to master, but of father to daughter or father to son. And this is because of another attribute that God has, that God is love. 1 John 4:8, one of my favorite passages says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." We are recipients of the manifestation of his love in our lives. But even without us, this characteristic is true about God. He's been in a loving, faithful relationship for all of existence. The triune nature of God, the God that we celebrate, is a powerful demonstration of love that lasts. Love that's perfect, and love which been tested and proven and is valid and it's trustworthy. Love that is faithful and it never fails. We can celebrate and emulate this because we are like him, created to love. But there are thousands of other attributes about God which would elicit a celebration reaction. There's compassion and mercy, grace and kindness, and many, many more. There's no way to go into all of them. But suffice it to say that we have ample reason to celebrate the good things of God. So what are some appropriate ways for us to celebrate him? I'm just going to list a few. I'm just going to talk about a few, because there's many. But here are the top couple that have come to my heart and mind. The first is prayer. Revelation 5:8 says this about our prayers. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So our prayers go up before God, and they are an incense to him, like a holy offering, a pleasing act of celebration, our prayers are. Almost every time that I have an extended time of personal prayer, I try to include this idea as part of my prayer, the idea of celebrating who God is. I try to actively recognize and celebrate how great God is simply in his being, not for what he does necessarily for me, but just who he is. I pray out the feelings of my heart when bringing to mind those attributes of his, and then I magnify him because of those attributes, simply as an act of affirmation for the God whom I follow. Sometimes this is quietly done. Sometimes it's just me and just internally. But often it's full of smiles and claps and loud prayers, which leads us to our second way to celebrate. And that's with dance, shouts, and loud noises. Check out this verse in 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is David. When wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And while he and all of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord, they were bringing it up with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. Now, this one seems a bit extreme. And if we were to do it at church, we probably would have to leave this alone, because we couldn't just all of a sudden start dancing around in the middle of the message. But we're not at church. So now is the perfect time to try this. Look, I want you to think about all the good things of God, things that I may have mentioned today. Maybe there are things that I didn't mention, but you were thinking about. And in just a moment, we're going to celebrate God by dancing before him. I know it's scary. So I want everybody to get up out of their bed, off of their couch, up from their computer chair or from the floor or wherever you are. Go ahead and get up and stand up right now to your feet. And we're going to spend 1 minute and 3 seconds dancing before the Lord. That's how long the music I've chosen will play. So when the music plays, I want you to dance. I want you to literally, like right now, just create a little space. Make sure you don't hurt anybody. And don't cheat God by not doing this. Are you ready? Dance! Hey, party rockers in the house tonight. Woo! Everybody just have a cool time. Yeah. And we gon' make you lose your mind. Everybody just have a cool time. Party rockers in the house tonight. Everybody just have a cool time. And we gon' make you lose your mind. We just wanna see you.
Shake that. Every day I'm shuffling.
I hope you had a lot of fun doing that and celebrating God in this way. I know it may have been out of your normal comfort zone, and that's okay. God wants to stretch us, and he is worth our celebration. Would you notice with me in this passage that there's more? In 2 Samuel chapter 6, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord, he was dancing, they were doing it with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. Man, we got dance and shouts and trumpets. That's a loud, noisy, possibly a bit chaotic response of celebration. But that's the nature of celebration. It is a bit out of control and very much expressive. Shouts are not on key with perfect pitch. They're lovely sounding, but they're bold and they're big and they're necessary parts of celebrating God. If you're ever going to shout, then let it be a shout for God. We as a church, we are really, really good at contemplative, meditative response to God. But we also ought to be good at an exuberant expression of celebration for our God. Look, for most of my Christian life, I was pretty uncomfortable with loud. And I was scared of this type of celebration because I would say that it isn't really who I am. But then I started to think about how I act at the Clippers game or at an Angels game. Like, I'm pretty comfortable shouting annoyingly loud. The more off key, the better. And I'm pretty comfortably whistling really loud. So several years back, I decided that if I would do this at the Clippers game, then I sure as heck should do it for the Lord. So now, at the Clippers game, I don't stand up or shout. I simply do a quiet, measured golf clap. No, that would be changing the wrong behavior. I've decided to occasionally, when appropriate, be loudly expressive when I celebrate God. And I know that God makes all of us with different volume levels and different volumes that we're comfortable with. So whatever is your loudest voice in your real actual life, the loudest like you ever get, then your God celebration voice should be even a little bit louder than that one. The final way I want to highlight as an appropriate way to celebrate is this: the worshiping or the singing of worship songs. Psalm 66, I referenced it right at the beginning of this message, but let's look at it a little bit more in detail. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done. His awesome deeds for mankind. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Come and hear, all you who hear God. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth, his praises on my tongue. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Oh man, what a powerful passage. The last way that I want to point out to celebrate God is by singing worship with gladness in our hearts to him. This is important because it is assigning worth to God, telling him that you recognize how amazing and valuable that he is. It's really singing out his worth. A friend of mine used to say it this way. He used to say it was actually worth-ship. And I kind of like that, even though it's a little hard to say. Try saying it. Worth-ship, worth-ship, worth-ship. A little cool, but kind of interesting. My friend would always say that it's ascribing worth to God when we worship. So when we sing out our praises, when we pour out our heart into expressing our joy to the Lord through music and singing, it's a perfect way to celebrate him. And there's an incredible side benefit when we do it. And that side benefit is that it actually lifts our hearts as well. When we enter into God's presence to worship him, we do in fact enter his presence. And we are immensely affected by being in such an interaction. To draw near to God is powerful stuff. Look, we have a church. We've begun to be intentional about building worship into our small groups, into our children's group, and into our youth group. Singing worship and playing music for the Lord, celebrating Him in song, those are essential responses to the good things of God. Not the only responses, but they're essential ones to put into practice. So I want to encourage you to put all three of those into practice throughout your week this week. Maybe find a time where you're actually just dancing. So today we're going to close our service with a worship song to God, and I'd like you to sing as full-heartedly as you can. Because again, God is worth it, our worship. Let's celebrate God together.
All right, just as I heard about celebration and just celebrating who God is, why don't we just sing this new responsive song today? The same song we sang earlier today, let's just go ahead and sing that here in response. We praise Him.